If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. First of all, I want you to know that if you're visiting here tonight, first time somebody invited you, I don't want you to get weird on me, but we're not asking for money, okay? We're teaching through the Bible. And chapter 8 and 9 are very important to the church because Paul is talking about giving to the poor. And so we're going to be dealing with that kind of an issue. But I found it interesting as I was reading chapter 9 that Paul, or sometimes it seems strange, that we as Christians need to be encouraged to give to God when He has given so much to us. And I understand, because of all the abuses that have been not only shown and proclaimed in so many churches, especially on radio and television, where people are constantly asking for money. I hate it. I disagree with it. Because I believe that where God leads, God will provide. I believe in the true principles of giving to God biblically, and not abusing what God has given to us. And Paul's going to talk to us just a little bit about that. Why? Because God has enriched not only our lives. Paul's talking to the Corinthians because the Corinthians have been enriched by God in a wonderful way. They're rich. They have a lot of money, the Corinthians. And yet those of Macedonia and those in Jerusalem, they were going through many, many heavy struggles financially and persecution. And they were being cheapskates. They didn't want to help concerning the poor. And Paul really exhorts them and he rebukes them and he says, "You guys, what's the matter with you? You have so much and yet you don't want to help your brothers in the Lord." Now remember that the actual people in Jerusalem were Jews, and in Corinth they were Gentiles. And in Macedonia they were Gentiles. And the Jews were already prejudiced against the Gentiles. And Paul thought, hey, wouldn't it be neat if you, the Gentiles, would take up an offering? And Paul says, I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't even want to carry it. They will choose three men. They will take the offering and will go down to Jerusalem and tell them, hey, this is a love gift for you from the churches that are poor, and they're also Gentiles, and even from the Corinthians, they have a lot of money. They want to help you. He said, wouldn't that be great, man? They would get totally blown away. So Paul here is trying to motivate them to get involved in the special offering, to give to those that don't have, sharing with them in their hearts and in their finances with these people that had nothing. Look at chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, which is really interesting as we read it, because Paul has been writing to them about their offering and how to take it up. I don't know if you remember that I told you that when you go back and you study the book of Exodus, before you get to the book of Leviticus, when Moses was dealing with the people of God and they wanted to build, you know, they wanted to actually build the tabernacle was not a building like this. It wasn't concrete of, you know, like wood or concrete and, you know, no pews, no chairs, but it was actually a tent. And when Moses went before the people, as God had spoken to him, he threw the plea out to the people, said, okay, look, you guys, this is what God's requirement are. Now, in the Old Testament, the requirement was what? The people should give to God 10% of their income. 10% of their income. And then the Lord said that if you gave 10% of your income to the Lord, and then let's say that you're in a financial bind, and you say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to give you my 10% this week, but what I'm going to do, or this month, I'm going to borrow it, and I'll pay you next month. The Lord would say, hey, no problem, just add 20%. 20% to every time you took from the Lord. So we're getting off cheap. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I really believe in my heart, and you're going to read it right from the scriptures. Paul's going to tell you. that a lot of times the reason people have financial problems is because they don't give to God. That's right. They don't give to God. You can't con God. Okay, Lord, I'm going to give you so you can give back to me. It doesn't work like that. Okay, and Paul's going to explain to us all these situations. But at the same time, Paul, in his own heart, is worrying about this whole situation because Paul says here that it was not necessary to write this letter to them about giving, but he wanted to do that because already in their hearts, he was praying and hoping that God would touch their hearts, and when they would give to God, they would give willingly and hilariously to the Lord. Not because I have to. And I agree with you tonight. A lot of people are turned off by coming to church because they hear so much about money. It's sad. You can turn on the television and they have telethons on Christian television and they raise millions and millions and millions of dollars to build fancy places and to whatever they do with the money. I believe that whenever a ministry is going to be doing the work of God, there has to be accountability, integrity, and everything has to be clear. Because the people need to know where their money is going. Otherwise, you got a lot of people that are stealing a lot of things from the Lord. I think that's really important. That's why here at Calvary Chapel, or any Calvary Chapel, I hope so, any Calvary Chapel you go to, they're not going to fleece you, and they're not going to make a big appeal about money, but they're going to teach the Word of God. And whenever we come through the Bible, through the teaching of the Word of God, you'll hear about it until the next 3 or 4 years when you come to the Bible again. But you're not going to hear like, you know, I'm going to plan it this week, and you know, and I'm going to try to really play on your emotions. And so I'm going to eat a lot of garlic so when I come up here, I can cry, you know. And then you can see my heart and I can just really move you. And then, you know, I've been to meetings like that where they all just play on people's emotions. And then they'll say, okay, now you know what? Why don't I say, everybody, we're going to pray right now and everybody be still, nobody move. And then the guy will start praying, you know, and then he'll speak in tongues to be more spiritual. And then he'll say, I feel the Lord is speaking to me right now. I feel there's 20 people here right now that are going to give $1,000. Honestly, I've been in those kind of meetings. And believe it or not, I hate to say this, in many of these meetings, they plant people in the audience to motivate you to give your money. Be careful. Let me tell you something. God is not broke. You're broke. God doesn't need your money. You need Him to give you money. We need His help because He owns everything in this universe, man. He probably has universes that are made of gold and silver. But it's incredible how people constantly like to appeal for money. And when you talk to your friends, you know, the first thing is when you start talking about church, they go, well, how much money do they want? Right away, it's money, 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 money talks instead of Jesus Christ. And Paul understands the problems with money. Look what he says, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 9. First of all, he's going to be speaking to them about their giving that will provoke others to give, not by emotional hype, but biblically, what God says in His Word. Now, concerning the ministering or the giving to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was already a year ago and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Paul is saying, hey, you guys, I am boasting about you because when I came to you and I talked to you, you out of your abundance being poor gave so much to the Lord. And you didn't even have to be pumped up. You gave to the Lord willingly, to the Lord. And Paul is just really speaking his heart. And Paul said, hey, you blew me away. You stirred me up. Because I told you the problem, I told you the need, and then we took up the offering, and what happened? And God blessed it. And you were willing to do it. Because he says in verse 2, I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians at Achaia, was already a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority, or literally provoked the majority. They all agree together in the Lord to give to the Lord to help the poor. Verse 3, yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Now, he's saying that even though Paul, and like with any one of us that, you know, are in the ministry, and if you're a pastor, you should think this way. A pastor should have nothing to do with counting of money at all. He should just preach and teach and study the Word of God and minister to the people of God. Because the enemy wants to ensnare you. And Paul is saying here, I am blameless that I never, ever, ever took care of the money. As a matter of fact, I won't even carry the money, but I've chosen three guys through the church to carry the gift to the church in where? In Jerusalem. Because Paul didn't want to get blamed for taking money. I like Paul. Blameless. So nobody can talk about you. Many times people kind of get bitter with other people because, you know, people begin to prosper, whatever goes on in the church, whatever happens to people. And a lot of times people, they can gossip about other people, but you don't know all of the circumstances. You don't know if that person has investments or not. You see? You have to be careful when it comes to monies. And Paul is making a proclamation here as an apostle of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that I told him about the offering, but I never touched the money. But I had three guys, Titus, Jason, and Sabater, to carry the money to those in need. I stayed completely clear of the money. Why? Because Paul knew how Satan could set him up, and then people would begin to say, hey, did you hear? Paul took an offer, and he took the offering with himself. He didn't want that to happen. Look at verse 4. He says, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Paul had been bragging about them and their generosity to give to the Lord. He says, I am so proud of you because we didn't have to pump you. We didn't have to come over and do all kinds of weird things. We came with the need and you answered to that need. And you gave. You gave to the Lord. Verse 5, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous giving or the gift beforehand which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. I love that. Underline that. That's why we tell you when we take up the offering, hey, if you don't want to give, go to McDonald's or In-N-Out, but don't give grudgingly. You give to the Lord because God has spoken to you. God doesn't need our money. And Paul is good in what he's saying here because Paul wanted the gift to be ready, to be collected before he would come, you see, to be blameless so they wouldn't say, hey, Paul left town with the money. He wanted to appear from all, what, evilness. He wanted to be blameless when it came to the giving of the Lord. I like Paul. Paul did not want anybody to blame him, but Paul didn't want to have nothing to do with the money so that he could be clear and he could minister to the people. So that's why he brings this up. But then check this out. This is so cool. Verses 6 through 9 now. Your giving will bless other people. Your giving will bless other people as you give. Verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. What does he mean by that? He says that if you don't sow, you don't reap. If you never, ever give to God what belongs to God, hey, guess what? You're not going to get nothing in return. God can't bless you. Don't you guys remember where in the book of Haggai? What happened to those people? They came back from captivity. They began to build their beautiful panel houses and everything they were actually putting out in the fields, and they were selling that and getting the money. They would go home and they had these bags of gold, and they would stick their money in the bag to abhor it for themselves. And God said, you better consider your ways. He says, the more you put in, the more I'm going to take. Why? Because they had neglected in the rebuilding of the house of God, and they had neglected in giving to God. And the more they got, the more God took away from them completely. Until God got their attention. And they got their priorities right. I have learned over the period of 30 years in my life, because I used to rip off the Lord too. But before I was a Christian, I never paid tithe or anything when I went anywhere. When I came to the Lord, I found out about it. I read about it. And I began to actually give to the Lord, you know, sacrificially, whatever we had. And we taught our children to give to the Lord. Even to this point in time, my kids all give to the Lord like that. Why? Because they were taught. Because we have found out, not only as a family, that you cannot ever outgive God. He has given you so much more than we've given to Him. And you're going to sow and reap what you give to God. We don't give so that we can get more money. We give out of what? Out of obedience to God. Because God proclaims it in His Word. That's why Paul here is giving us the law of giving, spiritual law of giving. Why? Because there's only one of the principles in giving here, and that is that God proves our giving to God. God looks at our giving when we give, believe it or not. The only place in the Bible that we're really, truly approved is in our giving to God, nothing else. God challenges us to give to Him. He said, hey, well, a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me in one way, in this and this and that. He says, why don't you try me if I may not open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon you? Try me and see what I will do. God's not going to, you know, defame Himself. But the reason He challenges us is because as children of God and Christians, we have a duty to give to the Lord what belongs to the Lord. God has promised to bless you when you give out of the abundance of your heart to the Lord. Now, we are living in the New Testament. Should we give 10% to the Lord, 20% to the Lord, 30%? How much should I give to God? Well, I will tell you how. You give to God something that is going to cost you something. If it's not costing you, then what is the worth of it? If you have it and you give it, what is it costing you? Nothing. But when you don't have it, and you're obedient, and you step out by faith, and you give to God, you don't give grudgingly to the Lord. Oh, Lord, here's my last $10. I'm gonna... Oh, man, forget it. Forget it. Keep it. Go buy something else. God doesn't need your money. But at the same time, He says, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The more you give, the more what God gives to you. And that I have learned in my life. You have to be a good steward, a good house manager. If you're faithful in the little things, I'll make you greater in the bigger things. But if you're not good with finances, and you're abusing your credit cards, and you're abusing your checkbook, and you're abusing this, and abusing that, and you don't have your finances in order, then how can God trust you? He can't. He can't trust you for what He has for you. And I think it's important that we pay our taxes to Caesar. Whatever belongs to Caesar, pay your taxes. Integrity. Accountability. You know, income tax is coming up, the 15th of April. And there are so many times people think, well, you know, I can rip off the government. And I'm amazed at how many people in businesses, they don't take Visa, they don't take checks, they take cash. Why? Because they cheat. That's why. You and I are paying our taxes for them. But as Christians, we're supposed to pay our taxes. As Christians, we're not supposed to cheat the government. Jesus said to Peter, hey, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give God what belongs to God. He made it very clear. And if you're here tonight and you're not giving your tithe to the Lord and you're not giving to what belongs to God, hey, don't expect God's blessings upon your life. That's what he says. He can't give you the blessings of the Lord. Why? Because look, here is the principle of giving, verse 7. This is so cool. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. I like that. How do we give in the New Testament? Is God, what? As give as your purpose in your heart. As God has blessed you. You see? It can be 1%, it can be 2%, it can be 10%, it can be 50%. And like one guy that's a billionaire, he gives 90% of his finances to the Lord and he only lives on 10%. Imagine that. There's a guy that does that. You cannot ever outgive God. And I liked what he says here. So let each one give as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Underline that. Because there's a need. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Wrong word. A hilarious giver. Whee! I give to the Lord. That's what he means. Biblically. I didn't put it there. God put it there. We give to God with a willing heart. Not because we're forced to, or because I have to, or because I need an income tax exempt. I give to God because I love God. Because I love him. Look what he's given me. He gave his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. And by the way, if you have a savings or you have, you know, TBLs or whatever it is you have, hey, that's nothing compared, because when you give to God, you are literally putting into the treasury of heaven eternally. God keeps record. And man, the dividends are incredible when you bless the Lord. Look how much God has done for every one of us here. Let me give you 5-6 things that I came up concerning giving. Number one, how do we give to God? Number one, we give to God without showing what we are giving to God. We give publicly. Nobody has to know what I give. Only the government. That's it. Nobody else. In Matthew chapter 6, 1-4, remember Jesus says, when you give your tithe and your gifts to the Lord, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, or don't blow the trumpet. When you give to God, you give in secret, and when you give in secret to the Lord, God will openly reward you. That's so cool. It's so cool how we give to God. We give because we love him. Secondly, we give according to our ability. Whatever you want to give to God, you give to him. And that's in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Remember, he says, you give every Sunday morning. You give in the first what part of the week they were giving to the Lord as the Lord has prospered them. Thirdly, we give not out of grudge, but we give willingly because we want to, not because we have to. 1 Chronicles 29:3-9. And then fourthly, we give liberally. We're not tightwads. We give liberally to the Lord. Why? Because I cannot ever outgive God. When he opens the windows of heaven, he pours out the blessings. 2 Corinthians 9:6-15. And then fifthly, we give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7, which we already read. And then six, we give proportionally. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. We are tested to give to God, and when God tests me, what? I cannot ever outgive God. I give to God what belongs to God. And that's so cool, because you know what? God will bless you in your giving to God. When the woman came, and all the Pharisees were standing by the wall, and they were flashing their money, and they were making all kinds of noise so people can watch them, and then they would put him inside, and Jesus was standing by the side. And when this woman came up, this little old woman came up, she opened her little purse and she took out a mite and she put it into the box. And the Lord said to the disciples, hey, you see that right there? That woman has given more than all those hypocrites, because what she gave all that she had, and she gave it willingly and hilariously to the Lord. You see? It's not the amount of the gift. It's the heart. How do you give to God? I believe that if everyone in Calvary Chapel would give to the Lord hilariously every week, everything would be debt free if people really gave to the Lord. But isn't that sad and tragic, not only here at Calvary, but in almost every church? Every church has a debt. And if they don't have a debt, they have a building program. And if they have a building program, they ask for money. But shouldn't the body of Christ come together and say, you know what, Lord? Man, we, the future of the church, we're going to be making a model for you of the future of this church. We want to have a full-on school. We want to build another sanctuary, more classrooms. We want to develop this whole property here within the next 2-3 years. We want you to have the best in the future that our children may get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, secularism will come in and destroy our children. We need more Christian schools. We need Christian teachers. We need to teach our children concerning the things of the Lord. But there's no possible way that we can even do missions or radio or crusades or anything unless we give hilariously to the Lord. Unless everyone is obedient in their giving to God. I would guarantee it. You would never, ever have to ask for money. Why I believe it? Because it happened in the Bible. When Moses was building the tabernacle, the people came and they gave to the Lord. And Moses said, hey, you've given too much. Stop your giving. But isn't that interesting? That how beautiful it would be, like God's blessed Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, where, the Lord is really blessed. Everything Chuck has actually touched, God has blessed it. Because he's been faithful to the word. And he's taught the people to give too. And it's so incredible how God, in his mercy and his love, has given so much for us. And looking at the future of the church, if every believer in Jesus Christ would give their amount to God, let me tell you something, you could do crusades, you could do radio, you could do television, you could get missionaries out, you could do so much more than you do today. And yet one day, the way I look at it, is we're going to have to give an answer to God. Every one of us here. Our church will have to give an account to God for everything that we're doing. Everything we're going to be doing. And you don't have to beg. You don't have to set up cookie sales and car washes. I believe that the Holy Spirit can speak to people because there are people in the body that have and some that don't have. But if everybody gave willingly, hilariously to the Lord, as God recommends to give, hey, there would be enough, not only for us, there would be enough for other people to help. Because that's what the Bible teaches. It would be incredible what God would do. Watch what Paul says, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Notice, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. If you're obedient and you're faithful to giving to God, God will take care of you. He's not going to leave you in the dust. Whatever your need may be, if you're obedient to God, God will see to it. Verse 9. He quotes from Psalm 112, 9. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. Who's he talking about? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave everything that he had by pouring out his life to us. And then verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase in the fruit of your righteousness. Paul here is actually giving a little benediction here. He's talking to them about their giving, how God will multiply it, but they've given out of true faith and that their righteousness, notice the fruit of your righteousness, like people that in Colombia and Chile, wherever we're at and we're helping missionaries, hey, that's not just us, it's all of us here. That our fruit is being accounted for. Because we're what? We're doing missions. Somebody loves you, crusades. The radio ministry that it goes out throughout the whole United States of America. Hey, it is through your sacrifices of giving to the Lord that we're able to be on the radio. It's so incredible. Getting the word of God out to hundreds and millions of people. that receive the word of God. I was talking to Robert the other day on the internet. We get about 400,000 hits a month through the internet. Imagine that, what God is doing. So God is incredible, because some people can't be here. We got people in Texas, all across the United States, on the internet tonight, hearing our program, live, as we're sitting here. And it's so cool, because we would love to go, you know, a step further than that. You know, maybe get a camera and get on live and do whatever we have to do and put the crusades on live and see what God would do in more radio programs and get the word of God out. Why? Because what we're doing is not temporal. It's what? Eternal. And it's to your account, because you're giving to God. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality in your giving, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Hey, Paul is thanking them because they gave so willingly and so much. And then notice thirdly here, your giving will actually meet other people's needs. Verse 12. He says, for the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also in abounding through many thanksgiving to God. This is their giving to the poor in Jerusalem. The guys in Jerusalem had been going through persecution. Stephen had been killed. And they were being tormented by Rome. And what do they do? Because they're all just going through so much stuff. When Paul takes this offering to them, the Jews get blessed, because the Gentiles, which are hated, now are assisting the church. And they see the need and they help. Verse 13. And while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, for your liberal sharing with them and all men. Notice, your giving will bring what? Glory to God. Your giving will bring glory to God as we help other people, as we give to the Lord willingly and hilariously. Verse 14. Your giving also will unite God's people, not divide them, but unite them. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Notice Paul here makes the importance of praying for believers, praying for one another. How we need to pray for each other every day. Getting up in the morning, driving the freeway, wherever you're going, you know, in a silent prayer, praying for this church, praying for the eldership of the church, the leadership, the sheep, the lambs, praying for the crusades that are upcoming. Anything that we are doing here, praying for the nursery, for the children's ministry, praying for God to do more and exceeding things in Calvary Chapel, because we want to see the hand of God upon our lives and we want to see God use our lives. Paul is saying here, hey, look, man, it's important for you guys to pray for believers. But notice how he thanks God for their giving here. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his incredible gift. What's the incredible gift he's talking about? He's talking about the incredible gift of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And listen, here Paul is actually speaking not only of Jesus Christ, but look what Jesus Christ did. God's divine salvation and eternal life that is given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we would be lost. And remember that you cannot ever outgive God in any way. You give God willingly and blessedly. And listen, when you give God, he'll bless you tremendously. What? Because it's all done out of love. Four words, L-O-V-D, love. I give to God because I love him. And I can't, when I look at my life and I see what God has done in my life, and what I have given to him is nothing to him compared to what he has given to me and for me when he went to the cross to die for my sins. That's why it's so neat to see people give. And I thank God for you. I thank God for what God has done here, what he's doing here. But I believe that God can do more than we have ever thought of if we would all unite together, together united, all three services, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And if people would give to God willingly and hilariously to the Lord, man, I'm telling you something, God can do so much more in our lives and in this place where we can reach the world for Jesus Christ. But we got to have the heart to do that. Otherwise, it's an impossibility. Father, I pray tonight for your people. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us. And Lord God, that we would never abuse the gifts that you've given to us. And Father, I pray even for those here tonight that are having financial problems. They haven't been good stewards of what you've given to them, Lord. Father, buying lottery tickets, Lord, wasting, throwing money away, Father, when we can give it to you, which is a far greater investment. Father, we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would touch every heart and speak to every person and even to the children, that we would teach our children, our sons and our daughters, our grandchildren, to teach them to give to you, Lord. Father, so that in coming generations, they would follow up what their parents and grandparents have done. And Lord God, we ask you for the dead here, Calvary Chapel. We pray for the crusades. We pray for the new buildings. Father, we pray for missions. We pray, Father, for radio. And Lord, we ask you that you would bless. That you would bless your people tonight, God. And Lord God, we bring everything to you as we seek you first, the kingdom of God. And Father, that we would be honest and have integrity in paying Caesar what belongs to Caesar, in paying God what belongs to God. Lord, we don't want to cheat. We don't want to rob you. But Lord, we want to be honest, and we want to be obedient, and we want to be faithful in our giving to you. Not because we have to or grudgingly, but because we love you, we give to you hilariously, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would help our people. Help them, Lord God, in their financial needs. Help the poor. Father, we pray for those that don't have what we have. And that you would anoint us and make us sensitive, Lord, to our giving to you. And Lord God, that the monies that are given here at Calvary Chapel would be used and spent wisely. And that you would give us direction, Lord. And that you would continue to bless and to bless in a mighty way. And Lord, we pray for those that are weak, those that are sick, that you would heal, that you would touch, that you would anoint them, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bring people by your Holy Spirit. And let thy Holy Spirit fall upon us to lead us and guide us. And that Jesus Christ would be the central theme of this church. In leading, in guiding, and providing for every one of the needs in the body of Jesus Christ. We thank you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.